The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. Keep your mission on your mind, and your mind on your mission. This is Mission Minded with Michael Coleman.
Welcome back to Tony Curry Radio, TKR. Get that app and join the 100,000 folks who have downloaded one of the top podcast platforms in the entire country. We're consistently in the top 10%, and one of the reasons is because we have great guests and great shows. And we like to give back to Mission Minded, Heart of Alabama Food Bank. Michael Coleman, he's, of course, the CEO down there. We've been doing this show for a while. We'll back it up with BBB, Bite by Bite, which is a show specific to the food bank industry. And, of course, you've had your plate full since the Donald Trump has taken office. It seems like he's been in office for like 3 years, and it's only been like, I guess, slightly over 100 days, but you've certainly been directly affected by him, and we've had some discussion about that. You go back and listen to prior shows. You and I were just briefly having a conversation. Sometimes I'll just hit the record button because we'll get 5 or 10 minutes into something. I'll go, wow, that would be a really good show to talk about, because we talk about things that happen in every business, not only non-for-profits. You recently had somebody who carries a pretty big stick and has a lot of weight at your place of business. I can equate that or use that in a radio term. We had a guy who is our production director. And he didn't want to show anybody how to produce things and use the tools he had, because if he did, then he was kind of telling his own secrets. I think he was doing it more just to kind of protect his brand and protect his job, because everyone had to go through Mike in order to get anything done. And they were like, if you just show me how to do it, Mike, I won't have a problem. And he's like, no, I got it. And, you know, it was always kind of a pain in the butt to go through him. And then he'd feel, you know, like he had some equity going there with the company because he was the only guy that knew this, and he wouldn't tell secrets, and, you know, emails, blah, blah, blah. So when you do have somebody comes in that maybe holds a key that's a little larger than some others in your office, and all of a sudden they up and quit, or they just get out, it can kind of throw you for a loop. First of all, before we get into the logistics and the intricacies of this particular situation, how important is it to make sure that you have somebody to back somebody up? In other words, if Michael Coleman decided to mail it in today, does the board have somebody already ready to go to take your position, or at least fill that position? And should you in a business, depending on how many employees you have?
Absolutely. It's called succession planning for leaders of organizations. And actually, in Feeding America Network, you are required to have a succession plan. So you either have a person by name or whoever's filling a position. So usually, like a chief operating officer or whoever is second in command, typically, and it would be a COO, would, if something happens to the CEO, whether he's like fired on the spot or passes away or becomes incapacitated for whatever reason, you already know, and the CEO already knows that they would take ownership. They would step up. There's already processes that they're and information at their fingertips. So here's where you find all the information. Here's where you here's who you have to contact. Here's who you notify. All that is already laid out, because what you want is, on some sort of unexpected change like that, you want to keep the craziness down to the lowest level possible, or the and the chaos is what I meant by that. And so it's really challenging. And then I walked into a culture, and this is very common. Doesn't matter whether it's business, not-for-profits. There are people who figure out their particular position in an organization, and they get their self-worth from that. And so what I found was, when I got here, was you can't even analyze somebody's what they're required to do and how well they do it, because they don't want to reveal anything about it. They want it as mysterious as possible, because they're looked to as the savior, or they're the gatekeeper. They're the ones with the golden key. So we can't do anything without person X or person Y. And they get And I understand that, you know, you feel needed, you feel wanted. Now, hopefully you would build an organizational culture to where that's not the case. Like, you are recognizing and rewarding people for doing a good job without them being. And so one of the things we talked about was when I got here was we have to get our processes documented. And so that sounds a lot like, oh, yeah, everybody's like, oh, yeah, I'm going to document it. But there's access software to where you can do that. There's several, probably. We use Trainual, and we break it down by departments. And so what I tell people, if you're in charge of a department, every single requirement. So if it's I'll use an example. So let's say it's a reporting requirement. Okay, well, then you have to go in and put that report in, and then you have to step by step list out where's that information come from? You can upload files where you can actually transfer a copy of the report. You can actually do a video and input it in there to explain step by step, or if it gets very complicated or convoluted. So we started doing that. Well, it was only because I mandated it, and then sometimes people wouldn't do it. So I had to put my CEO in charge of it to make sure that every single item is accounted for. Yeah. And here's the reason. At the end of every fiscal year, which our fiscal year runs July to June, so June 30th of every single year, we have to shut down. We go back about 3 days. We shut down the entire food bank because every bit of our $1 million worth of property, actually, it could be upwards of $3 million worth of our food inside of our warehouse has to be accounted for and inventoried to go towards our single government audit that we have to do every year.
Yeah.
And so obviously you've got things moving around in a inventory system. So when it comes in, it's receipted in, then it moves to another warehouse. And then sometimes people have ordered it. You've got it in a different position. So lots of times when you go to inventory, you're like, okay, we're missing some things. It's in the system. We just have to reconcile all that. Well, and so it's a really big time of the year. Well, then our inventory specialist, the person who's over it, who was also assistant director of operations, walks in this week, totally unexpected, had no idea anything was wrong, and says, I'm turning my keys, I'm leaving. And walks out, no notice.
Wow.
No 2 weeks notification. And so, thankfully, we had some things.
Did you see, hold on, did you see this coming? I mean, even if you're bumping heads or throwing bricks, I mean, at least you kind of have a heads up a little bit. That's just not professional. I mean, that's not going to look good. She can't use this or he can't use this on his resume. Right. I mean, why would you do this? Is this something you saw coming?
Had no idea. And what's even more disheartening is, you know, we got some differing reasons why. One was they had lost a parent and had not adapted to that. But for a whole year, because a lot of their job is on the computer, on our inventory system. But for an entire year, I allowed them to work remotely on Mondays and Fridays in another state to help take care of their parent who was ailing. And that was me doing something that was not in our best interest. That was in that person's best interest.
Yeah.
And we did that because we want a culture of, yes, we know this is on your mind. You don't have anybody to help with your parent. And so, so we felt like, hey, we're pouring into you. We're caring for you. We're showing that we, and I think that's, and I don't regret, I still to this day don't regret doing that.
Yeah.
What you would hope though is that that would build a certain amount of loyalty, a certain amount of, hey, I'm not going to walk out and leave these guys high and dry because they've helped, they've taken care of me when I had some challenges. But, you know, people have their own reasons. Now, I also think there were some normal stresses in life. Also, I think the person mentioned wanting to leave the entire state because this is a very red state. And, you know, the politics have really bothers them. Mm. And so, but But the truth of the matter is, when you just look at human nature, it's usually not somebody to walk in and just walk away from a high paying job and with no notice, no anything.
How long had this individual been there in this position?
About six years.
Wow. That's amazing. Okay.
And it was even due to get, you know, a performance bonus. But nevertheless, lots of times that's to say, even though you may feel like, hey, I've established a good culture, people aren't going to do me like that. You just never know what's going on in people's lives or what's going on in their mindset. So the bottom line is, as a leader of an organization or of a leader of a department, maybe you can't put it online, but you have to make sure that you envision if somebody walks in here cold, they don't know anything. That's worst case scenario. Lots of times you can bring some people up from a previous and have some idea of the system and, you know, so they're not starting from scratch. But if you did, you'd want it all laid out to where, oh yeah, you just go right here. Here's every process we have step by step. And if you still didn't understand something, we have people here who can help guide you through this. Yeah. In other words, you're not just walking in clueless like, well, I don't even know where to start. It gives you key documentation, key points of contact. It gives you a report, whatever it is. So I'm glad we prepared for it, but it just reminded me from several different angles how critical it is, because as much as we would like to count on certain people and think people are not going to disappoint you, people are people and they tend to look after their needs first. And again, we've had previous shows talking about the lack of loyalty.
Yeah.
And I get it, because some people go, well, my guess is it was those factors made the decision easier, but I'm guessing that they had maybe another job and got notified of the other job. And they're like, I don't want to go through the stress of another audit, and just chose to walk away. But they clearly put themselves first. And I get the mindset. I understand the mindset. But we had a chance to put ourselves first, and we didn't do it. We poured into that individual and we did what was in their best interest. You would hope the residue from that or the exchange of that would be a reciprocation to where.
Sure.
But it just goes to show you. So you have to view it from, hey, there's no from a business owner or somebody running a department. You have to look at it like, hey, we're going to play worst case scenario on this. There is no loyalty in this game. There is no. So what do I have to do to keep things running smoothly? And you have to operate from that perspective to make sure that your department, your company, business, whatever it is, continues to function regardless, including yourself, if they don't show up the next
day. And to your point too, there's a lot more weight that comes with something that you're doing, because you're actually providing a service to people that need it to live. I mean, right. it's like if I'm an oxygen maker and all of a sudden I decide I don't want to make oxygen containers anymore, and you got to get oxygen every single day. It's like, hey, listen, well, who's going to make, you know, and you don't know how to get into my website in order to build the cartridges or the cylinders or whatever. We're not selling stereos at Best Buy here. We're distributing food to people who need to eat. Michael Coleman's the CEO of Heart of Alabama Food Bank. When you talk about, first of all, and I wanted to go back, you talked about doing auditing on inventory. How difficult is that? And I would assume you have to go through audits every single year. So if you'd be working it, you know, constantly, audits should not be that difficult. Audits are hard when you don't pay attention to anything you've got, and all of a sudden you're up for three straight days counting cans and things like that. But how difficult is it for an inventory, for something that you're talking $2-3 million worth of inventory?
Yeah. I mean, we're talking, you know, really five warehouses, and, you know, the auditors will look into a system and again, we have stuff every day that's coming in the system. We have stuff literally every day going out the system. We have them once it comes in, it's in a certain status. If it's ready to move, so you have different. It can be located. It's still there, but it can be located in a different status. So, for instance, let's say that they say, okay, you should have X amount of this product. And they may have it by weight, or they may have it by the number of cases, whatever. So, you know, they don't go through, the auditors don't go through, they do samples. So they'll go through and say, okay, we're not going to literally go hands-on everything in this warehouse. Of course, we don't know what they're going to choose.
Yeah.
So we have to make sure that all our stuff is right. But they go pick something, say, okay, well, pull this off the shelf. Let's weigh it. Or let's say you're missing 5,000 pounds of it, or you're missing a pallet or two of this. Well, this is USDA product oftentimes. And so, you know, it's a really big deal if that stuff's missing. And so the reason this particular person is over head of our inventory system, with that person gone, we're like, okay, somebody else has to go in there and find it. Where is it in the system? It's, you know, is it missing, or is it just been placed in a different, you know, category?
Well, do you find this is not the first time this has happened to you, and I'm sure it's not going to be the last time it's happened to you, because you've been in business for a long time. Normally, when things like this happen, and I've been around enough GMs that have done this, where you go in and you realize there are a lot of fires that have been started. And I hope that's not the case for you, because I know you're on a clean ship and you do audit yourself every single month.
Yeah.
But I mean, sometimes you find out that if, when they are up and gone real, really fast, that you're like, okay, what's this? And the next thing you know, you start digging, you start finding some things. So hopefully you don't find those things, but I would assume
you're 100% right. But the way we built it was to try to avoid that, is that we tried to build accountability across departments so that it's not just one person can't make the decision, let's going to put inventory over here, or let's do it here. So we have our normal processes. And if there's these anomalies, there's usually a check and balance system so that, you know, you can avoid it. Now, one of the things that I think is very common, and I still do it, I'm looking down at my desk right now, I have 5 sticky notes. Okay. Now,
you still use sticky notes?
I still use sticky notes because a thought comes in my head, or I'm talking to somebody. I don't want to interrupt their thought, but I'm like, oh, that reminds me, I got to check on, I got to do X, Y, and Z. So I have these sticky notes. Now, it does not have anything to do with our processes, but I could, you know, you've walked in and there's a million sticky notes everywhere, all over somebody's computer and everything else. That's where it really gets dangerous. If you don't document your processes, or you say, oh, wait a minute, yeah, I'm going to transfer a pallet of this out, I've got to go add it in later. And you've got those scattered all over your desk. Yeah. But that comes into that accountability of making sure you, and let me tell you something, I have had people that I've, you know, especially you get this more with old school people who aren't as comfortable with technology. And so they want to do things old school. And you have to be hands-on enough. Like, if you're like, no, we're going to document all our processes, that you have to go in there to, because they can almost be like a bully.
Yeah.
They're like, no, I know it. This is the way I've done it. It's the way I've done it for 20 years. I'm not changing. And you're like, well, you're going to, you know, let's talk about this, because you're going to have to comply. And if you can't comply, then you're going to have to go somewhere else. And so you have to meet that, not necessarily aggression with aggression, but you have to draw tough lines with employees, because you're seeing a bigger picture. It's not that you're trying to change who they are or what their preferences are. You just know if that person doesn't show up tomorrow and you never talk to them again, that's a lot of institutional information and processes that go away. So what do you have to do? You have to codify it. You have to document it. You have to put it in places where other people can get it. And you're very likely going to have to do it over the will of the people who are holding that information. Because again, it's not just that they're holding on to it, but it's, they get their value from not sharing that information.
They sure do.
So you're trying to convince them, and this is where you have to understand a little bit of psychology and deal with employees, because it's like, I need to be able to convince this person that they're still going to be valued, even though they're given the recipe, or they're telling us the secret to the sauce. You know, hey, that's not going to diminish who you are or what our appreciation for you is.
Man,
it's very difficult to do.
This reminds me, and I've been writing down notes here, so pardon me for looking down, Wayne Knight, who is the actor that played the mailman on Seinfeld. He had that part in Jurassic Park, where he was the one that knew all the codes. He had the sticky notes, the sandwiches, and all kinds of crap over his desk, and he was the one that was stealing the placebos or whatever it was, the embryos of the dinosaurs. And I remember that, and they get in there, and they're totally handicapped. They're totally hijacked. He has taken the entire system. He has shut it down. They don't know how to get it back on. They don't have any passwords. And we're talking obviously dinosaurs here. And there are people like that in a business. And I can speak from experience that I had the same thing. I went in paying somebody, what I thought was, you know, based on the hours they were giving me per week was a pretty good salary. They weren't really an employee. I was kind of paying them on the side and then when all of a sudden they went AWOL, you know, I realized just how much work they had done, but how many different things that they had facilitated that I had no clue about. I was like, just take care of it. I don't want to know about the technical aspect of it. I'm a talker. I'm a radio guy. I do podcasts. I speak and I ask questions. I don't know anything about the computer or the app or anything else. And perhaps I should have known more. Just to have a handle. Thank goodness in this particular situation, this person was lazy. And so they taught someone else how to do their job. And so it was easy to fire him because I'm like, this guy already knows everything. And I end up paying, you know, the other guy half.
Think about it, how this bleeds over into a personal. So if you're sitting there going, well, this isn't really relevant to me. I'm not a CEO or I'm not a department head. But think about how many times you trust a spouse to take care of all this business. Mm. And you know, of all the credit cards, of the insurance, of all, you know, that there's enough retirement, there's enough savings, there's all of that.
Hey, stuff. Having gone through divorce, like half of us do, you find out because the wife or the woman takes care of her. She has her duties and I have my duties. I cut the grass, change the oil, pay the bills, bring the money in. She takes care of this, that, and the other thing. And then when you realize that you're a single parent, you have to take care of everything. So it's a great analogy that it works in relationships.
Well, you think about how many, especially I would say widows, you know, just entrusted their husbands and they think, he's got it all covered. And you don't know behind the scenes, he's juggling or he didn't keep records of anything. So the kids come up and go, oh, mom, dad, you know, passed away unexpectedly. Okay, let's figure out. And they're like, well, he has all that. And you don't have a clue. It's no different. The dynamic is the same, whereas we trust people and we think they're always going to be here to do that until they're not.
Yeah.
And then what have I done to prepare for that time? And as tough as that is, if somebody's listening, and that doesn't even matter if you're young or not, because I just saw somebody, a friend of mine, wasn't a close friend. I was closer to her parents. She's probably 10 to 15 years younger than me. I had no idea she was even sick, but both her parents are still alive and she died from cancer.
Wow.
And I know a lot of the family, but she was in her 40s or early 50s. But the bottom line is, you know, all of a sudden somebody's gone, and it happens all the time. And you're just like, so this isn't necessarily for older people. This is, it doesn't matter. You got to know your business. You got to know what the plan is. You can't just trust that the person that you love is number one, going to do it. Number two is going to do it right in a way that makes sense. And at a minimum, at least sit down with the person and go, okay, where's all the information? Fine. You're going to handle it all. But at least tell me where all the info. Where's all our account numbers? Where's all our credit card? If you've got an insurance policy, where's all that? Where's our marriage license? Where's birth certificates? Where's all that kind of key documentation? Passports, everything. Where is it?
Mm-hmm.
If it's in a magic box, that's fine. Just tell me where the magic box is.
Yeah. No. That's what a great analogy. And that. Because a lot of times, you know, the men are the one that write the checks, and you see this so much, you know, well, he handled that. And I had a friend of mine who got brain cancer and was given 6 months to live. His name was Wally, and he's just a wonderful man. He was in his 40s, 48, 49. And of course, they knew that he only had a certain amount of time. And so he had to sit down and said, listen, there's a lot of things that I need to tell you. I need to share some things with you about, you know, our business and about who gets what and what kind of deals. Cause everyone's got their little secrets. Sometimes hopefully you don't.
Yeah.
She didn't find any major fires or anything when he passed away. And thank goodness they were pretty well off anyway. They're part of the Kennedy family. So that it wasn't like money was an issue, but in most cases it is. You hope in my dad's case, when he was going to die, you know, he paid for everything before we were done. He's like, I'm going to take care of everything. So you guys won't have to come out of pocket for anything. And really remarkable stuff and really important stuff to think about when, you certainly have employees and hopefully by listening to this podcast today, maybe you've got that one person in your office, and it seems like it's always the tech guys. It's always the person that sits back and the lamp's on and the rest of the room is dark. They may come in on weekends. They work weird hours, or maybe they work out of state or work from home on Mondays and Fridays. But they got some things. So, great stuff. We do a mission.
Just one last thing. It always happens when you least expect it. The last thing I thought of is this person leaving us asking, what's going on? Why is this happening?
At this time of the year.
At this time. It was the worst time in the world for that person to leave.
Something we can get into, and when we do these things, you always give me ideas for other shows, but I would love to get into departure interviews. I think we may have done a show on this in the past, but I mean, every good business usually has some type of departure interview, even if you're leaving or you're pissed off or whatever, they'll want to sit down and ask why and why it's important you don't burn bridges and stuff like that. CEO of the Heart of Alabama Food Bank, Michael Coleman. Thank you, brother. Coming up next, we'll do Bite by Bite. What are we talking about on BBB today?
Yeah, we're going to talk about, we're kind of transitioning more to specific nonprofit stuff, but it's stuff that I live out in the nonprofit world. We're going to talk about specifically how to be able to talk about your mission in a way that inspires people to get involved. And awesome. And that's really a challenge. For all nonprofits, but specifically us at Food Bank, where we need lots of volunteers and lots of different donors and different stakeholders.
Wonderful. We'll do it next right here on Tony Curry Radio.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.